Well, hi friends, happy Thursday. Hope you're having a good day. Graham here with my daily update video. Hey, in a second, I want to share some thoughts about habits and identity, how to change habits and how we fail so often when we try to make resolutions and change habits, what the Bible actually says about that and how we can, live a transformed life. Good. A couple of housekeeping things as usual. If you're on my YouTube channel, want to hit the subscribe button, check out the links below, including my Twitter account. I have about 100 new followers a day now on Twitter, and that's really going well. This weekend, let's see, in the coming week, I'm going to be, where am I going to be? I have four events this week. I'm going to be speaking in Sturbridge this coming Sunday morning, Norwalk, Connecticut, doing an evening of prophecy this coming Sunday. I'm going to be in New Canaan on Thursday of next week. Brattleboro, Vermont on Friday of next week. Back in my churches in Masson, Connecticut on the Sunday. And then I'm off to Ireland for a week. So all of those good things there. I also have a ministry mentoring group that meets first Saturday of every month. If you are interested in that, check out, there should be a link below on our ministry school for that. There's a small charge for that, but if the finances are a challenge in any way, let us know and we'll help you financially. We have a bursary to help those in financial needs with that. Boom. So come on, let's talk about this. Have you ever made a resolution, a decision? I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible more, pray more, exercise more, rest more. Eat well, I don't know, do good things, or I'm not going to do this or do that and do the other. And have you ever made decisions like that? And then usually you'll do well for a few, let's say a few days at best. And so often the passion, the power, the motivation that lay behind those decisions, and we're really serious when we take them, it's like it just runs out of steam a few days later. And like an airplane, you know, imagine an airplane that's in the sky at, I don't know, 35,000 feet, whatever, it's going 500, 600 miles an hour. Do you know, even if, it's interesting, even if both engines died and blew up in an airplane, do you know most planes would travel for at least another 100, 120, 150 miles? Why? Because they're going so fast and they are so high that when the engines, if both engines were to stop, I apologize if you're flying somewhere today, but if both engines were to stop and blow up, the plane can still, it has so much altitude and so much momentum behind it, it will keep going. It doesn't just drop out of the sky. And in the same way, we tend to make decisions when we're in a high place in our life, a high place, a great place, we're feeling good, we make the right decisions. And great, we feel like, man, this is it, I'm gonna stay. And so often those decisions run out of steam quite a few days later. You know whereof I speak. So I wanna just share with you a passage. Really, the answer to this is so simple. And it really is simple, it's actually not hard. It's not hard to live a transformed life. Let me say this again, it's not hard, it's not difficult to live a transformed life. God doesn't ask you to live the Christian life by your effort, by your willpower, by your capacity to, you know, take incredible decisions and follow through in them. It's His life that will do that. Jesus is not our example to follow. He's the life of Jesus isn't simply a life we look at and go, wow, isn't that wonderful? Gosh. And like a picture we admire. The life of Jesus is something that actually flows in and flows through us. But where can I read that? There's so much good. In Ephesians 4, really Ephesians 4 has the whole answer to this. Ephesians 4:11 is a well-known verse where it says, Jesus ascended on high and gave gifts to men, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And then in the next few verses, Paul sets out why God gave those ministry gifts. They're not there to do the work of the ministry. They're there to equip the body of Christ, the whole body, to do the work of ministry. And then Paul says that we'd be no longer children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in the context of community and love, will grow up into Him in all things. And there is a growing up that needs to happen in Jesus. we need to learn who we are and grow up. And if you carry on reading there, I'm just going to pick a few verses for the sake of time. Ephesians 4:20 says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard of him, been taught by him, and the truth that is in Christ Jesus." And then he says, "You put off concerning your former conducts the old man, which goes corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in righteousness and true holiness." Come on, three quick keys to transformation that actually lasts. Firstly, understand what your will really is. Our will is a glorious thing. Our will, people talk about free will. I'm not sure I would say we have free will, because our will doesn't live in a vacuum. My will is influenced by other things. Martin Luther once wrote a book on the bondage of the will. What he was saying is your will is free, but it's tied to the desires of your heart. But our will is an incredible thing. Our will is the capacity to choose, but willpower will not get you very far. I always look at willpower like the starter motor in a car. It's very great at initiating the engine, at getting that engine running. That engine with all its pistons is cold, it's, I won't say dead, but it's inert, it's nothing's happening. And that starter motor instantly has enough power to get the engine going. Now the starter motor can actually move the wheels of the car. If you have a stick shift car like we do in the rest of the world, like we do in Europe, you could put your car into first gear, let your clutch out, turn the starter motor, and your starter motor will move that car down the road for about 50 yards before the battery just dies. Because the starter motor wasn't made to propel the car forward. The starter motor was made to start the motor. It's complicated, I know. Think about it. And in the same way, our will is an incredible device for setting us in the right thing. I can choose to look at this. I can choose not to look at this. But when I look at this, I'm going to be drawn in, and it's going to inflame the passion of my heart for good or for bad. I can choose not to look at something that if I keep looking at will take me down a wrong direction. Now my willpower in effect determines the end result of my heart, but it's not my willpower. My willpower was my choosing power. So will is an amazing thing, but you run out of steam really quickly with willpower. Second key is understand this: decisions come from beliefs. So behind most of our decision is a belief, and sometimes a belief that we're not really aware of, or a belief we've never actually brought out. So often we're doing something there's an underlying belief: I will be happy if I do this. I will not be happy if I do this. Life looks good if I do this. Life does not look good if I do that. So often we've never actually laid out and thought through or asked God to show us those beliefs that are undergirding the things we do. And it's like we have a belief: I'll be a happy bunny if I eat 10 bags of Doritos. You eat 10 bags of Doritos and sit there going, "Why did I do this?" And that end result part of you realizes this is a really dumb thing to do. But then, a few hours later or days later, whatever, it's like you've washed away that memory, and your only context is life would look really great if I did this. And you can add a million different things with that. How many people have a sort of belief that goes, "Hey, the next hour will go really well if I watch a series on Netflix," rather than "the next hour will go really well if I read my Bible for an hour"? Yeah, and the forgetting when you've watched some trash on Netflix for an hour, feel yucky and bad, and they've taken God's name in vain, and I shouldn't really watch. You end up that end result versus the end result of feeling, "Lord, I spent time with you and you spoke words of life into me. I stretched my mind. I learned more about you." Looking at the end result is really powerful. But here's a real key I want to give you today, and maybe I'm going to do a course and some more thoughts on this later. But beliefs come from identity. And we need to stop trying to change our beliefs. Come from identities. Decisions come from beliefs. And decisions come from our will. Here's the point I'm trying to make. If you want to make good choices, don't try to change your life with choices. Change your life with identity. So rather than coming and saying, "I will read my Bible for 1 hour a day," good luck with that. as Jordan Peterson would say, you're probably going to give up after a few days. Like that plane, you're going to drop out of the sky. I will go to the gym. It's a new year. I will go to the gym every day. And, you know, you'll do that until you don't do that anymore. The real key, and it's what Paul is saying here, he talks about putting on the new man, putting on a new identity. He lists sins in Ephesians 4, which are not good, which are not righteous, which God doesn't want us to do. But his answer to that isn't ship up, shape up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and stop doing these things. His answer is put on a new identity. And rather, this sounds like, oh, words, or it's counterintuitive, or what's your point here, Graham? Rather than saying, I will try to read my Bible every day, I will try to do this, I will try to give some money. I heard a great talk in church about giving, and I gave for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I sort of stopped. What we need to do is put on an identity. You see, if you put on an identity, I am somebody who reads my Bible. I don't read my Bible every day. I read my Bible most days of the week. I usually read my Bible about 5 out of 7 days. And I'm happy with that because some days life is crazy. Most Sundays I don't read my Bible for me. But most of the days of the week, I really do. I'll sit down and good cup of coffee, not rushed, notepad, pen, journal. And I have a thing I read through that I've done with the Lord for years. So here's my point though. I don't take the decision to read my Bible. I take the decision to believe an identity. I am a person who spends time in the Word. I am somebody who exercises. I am somebody who, I'm a giver. You know, I am a giver. Now you can say, how do you give? Well, my church and missions and this and that. Great, all those things are good. But I am a giver. It's an identity, not an activity. If you base yourself on the activity, you'll fail. If you put on an identity, especially one that God gives you, you will succeed. If you're trying to stop being angry, being jealous, being lustful, being lazy, being all those things, and try to battle, you end up living in Romans 8. It's like Paul says, the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, I do. Help me. The key is to put on that identity of victory and say, I'm an overcomer. I'm a righteous person. I'm free from this. And actually put on that identity. And even if for a while your reality, your temptation, your habits are still playing catch up, if you will focus on who God says you are, your habits will always follow your identity, not your identity, your habits. Selah. That is a really great truth that would really help some people. I know and believe. Amen. Thanks for watching, guys. Again, hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube and check out some of the links below. If you haven't yet signed up for our ministry mentoring group, love to have you on board for that. And as I said, if the finance is an issue, we have a bursary program at the moment. We can help you with that. So thanks for our partners who are helping give to those who can't afford to do that. Boom. Have a great day. It's a snowy day here in New England. And praying for global warming. That's all I'm saying. Bye for now.